If you believe God for a miracle, and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Parents, summertime is almost here. Enroll your child in the Bethel Deliverance International Church Summer Program, Camp Bethel. Camp Bethel features swimming, karate, barbecues, daily meals and snacks, and trips to places including Hershey Park, Camel Beach, and Ellis Island. Enrollment has begun, so don't delay. Call 215-885-2585 for more information, or visit us online at betheldeliverance.org.
In Judges chapter 1, I asked the Lord for a relevant rhema for you. There will be problems and obstacles that approach you this week simply because you've been blessed of the Lord today. It is the job of Satan to discourage you when God has encouraged you. And so I prayed, Father, they need something to lift them above the dilemmas that will come, something that will cause them to persevere even when they don't feel like it. I mentioned this morning that if you want to do something, you will find a way. If you don't want to do it, you will find an excuse. And there are results to perseverance. What drives me to get up at 5 in the morning and go to the gym and beat my body into submission? What makes me do that? A blood pressure reading of 117 over 77. A cholesterol reading of 155. What makes you do what you do? Results. If you come into this house of worship with no expectations, then you will not be disappointed. But if you come in here expecting something, God will keep you in the palm of his hand, blessing you with everything that you expect. You can never come to a place with God and not expect something to happen. We serve a God who interjects, who reaches into your life even when you don't want him there. He shows up. In Judges chapter 1 is such a story of the intervention of God, or the interdiction of God. Interdiction means you're going straight down Broad Street and someone cuts across at Master Street and stops you. They interdict you. And that's God. God interdicts you. You're going in a certain direction. Here he comes to stop you. And you must realize that that interdiction is a blessing. When God says, don't go someplace, pull back, don't go there, rejoice, don't feel bad. He's saving you from possible death. Such is the story in Joshua, Judges chapter 1, verse 1. Now after the death of Joshua, ouch, it came to pass that the children of the Lord asked him, saying, who shall go up for us against the Canaanites first to fight against them? And the Lord said, Judah shall go up. For behold, I have delivered the land into his hand. And Judah said to Simeon, his brother, come up with me into my lot, or into my responsibilities, that we may fight against the Canaanites. And I likewise will go with you when you go into your responsibilities. So Simeon went with him. And Judah went up, and the Lord delivered the Canaanites and the Perizzites into their hand and slew them in Bezek 10,000 men. And they found Adonibezek in Bezek, And they fought against him, and they slew the Canaanites and the Perizzites. I find here an interesting story that, as in most initial passages of Scripture, when you enter into a new book or chapter, you find that that chapter gives you at least three bits of information. It tells us here that Joshua was dead. This is significant because for the first time since their exodus, their principal leaders are dead. If I may use this earthly illustration, for the first time since their formation, the Church of Israel doesn't have a pastor. Moses led with faithfulness, aggressiveness, as the first biblical apostolic prophet. He led until the people got on his nerves. Prior to him dying, he passes on the anointing, the mantle of responsibility to a young man who was so connected to him that he would often ascend the mountain with Moses simply to wait, not to pray, but simply to wait for his mentor. God had given previous instruction that no one was to ascend this fiery summit called Sinai unless it was Moses. In fact, this instruction was so severe that he had Moses put borders around the base of this mountain, and no one could climb this fiery summit. And so Moses would go up and down as the need permitted, and he would go up and down when fellowship was mandatory, when directions were required. God in his loving mercy would give Moses an audience. Moses would ascend that hill even when he was frustrated with the lascivious behavior of the children of Israel. And so one particular time, the Bible says that Moses was up in the mountain praying, and it said Joshua was up on that mountain as well. And since God doesn't lie, cannot lie, one must now ask the question, why is it that you're not killing Joshua? You said nobody else can come up here but Moses. But this man was so uniquely connected to Moses that when God saw Joshua, he saw Moses. Would to God our leaders had Joshua's who looked like them. Joshua was very zealous for both the Lord, for he and Caleb alone declared, we can go up in that land and take it, and no power can keep us from it. He and Caleb said that they were able to take the land with the help of Almighty God. In fact, they prophetically said, the defense of our enemies is gone from them. Let's go up at once and take the land. Joshua had such a warring spirit that when the Amalekites came up from the south to attack Israel in Exodus, Moses looked over to Joshua and said, get some men, because I know you're a charismatic young man. Go out and get some gangbangers like you and fight against Amalek while I go and take the rod of God up into the mountain. So Joshua fought. And Moses prayed. Lord, I wish the church could see the beautiful imagery, but I digress. When Moses died, I can imagine the shock and the horror that Joshua experienced rising in the morning and going to the meeting place to meet with his mentor. And on the road to said meeting place, God interdicts and says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now get up and lead these people. God doesn't even give him a chance to mourn the death of his father. God doesn't even give him a chance to cry, to deal with the seven phases of grief. God does not give him an opportunity. He says, get up and lead these people. And every time God gives you a new charge, he gives you new courage. He said, I'll be with you. And I can imagine Joshua said, how will you be with me? He said, like I was with Moses, that's how I'm going to be with you. And he said, every place you, Joshua, set the sole of your feet, I'm going to give it to you. Now get up and take these people. He says, all right, but only be thou strong and of a good courage. So Joshua leads the people. And when Joshua leads them from battle to battle to battle, he comes to the end of his great life. And as he grabs all the elders and pulls them together, he notices that with any relationship, there is a natural tendency to begin to drift from the original vision and passion. Being surrounded by people that are not of like faith, you begin unconsciously to submit, to surrender, to become assimilated into a culture that is contrary to your God. And this is the reason why we weekly gather on the first day of the week, so that we may be pulled back into the right road, because for 6 days the world has had an opportunity to feed your mind doubt, uncertainty, and the ambiguity of the agnostic lifestyle. And so you've been hearing these bad newses all day. You've been listening to CNN, MSNBC, KYW, your next door neighbor, and some disillusioned Christians. And so you have to come back to the house of worship on the first day of the week to hear a relevant rhema word from the servants of God who have been tasked with feeding your soul. Their job is to bend you back down that narrow road. So Joshua pulls them all together. He does something that Moses failed to do with regularity. Joshua pulled them together and said, look, I have watched this slow descent into ungodly living. I'm not going to be with you much longer. Good for me. But I must leave you instruction because I am a good God leader. I need you to understand where God brought us. I need you to realize what he has taken us through. And then I need you to consciously decide what God you're going to serve. Are you going to go back and serve the gods that our fathers served under Abraham before the promise was given? In other words, are you going to live in a lifestyle that is beneath the privilege of what you've been seeing? Are you going back to a life of bondage under strange gods, gods you didn't know, gods you were made to serve? Or are you going to hold on to Jehovah, who has revealed his love, his compassion, his light, and his grace to you? So choose this day. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Ow! As for me and my house, we walk in with God. What a fitting epithet to a man whose life is marked by conflict but victory.
For a copy of the message you just heard in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number 05-1158. Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $16. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. To attend Bethel Sunday services, join us at 2929 West Sheltenham Avenue at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 p.m., with prayer and Bible study being held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us on the web at www.betheldeliverance.org. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert, Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.